Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. It is great to have you all here. Welcome to the Brighton campus of First United Methodist Church, Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Welcome to those of you who are with us online. I just found out they're in contact with someone, and they've been watching online for 2 years and call this their church home. So glad to have all of the online people with us this morning. My name is Loretta Job. I'm a deacon that is here at part of the pastoral care team and in mission and ministry with all of you. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God, and we do that in a great variety of ways. We're going to have some announcements earlier. You saw, announcements later. Earlier, you saw the screen with the announcements there, but also please get your connection card out of your bulletin. Make sure you fill that out. Make sure you turn it over. The offerings on the back change from every once in a while, so you need to be able to keep up with what's going on. Let us know how we can help you become more involved in the missions here at the church and to feel like you are a part of this church family in a new and significant way. There are also prayer cards in the pews, so if you are in need or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment to fill those out, and we will get them to our prayer team as well as to the clergy pastoral care team. This morning in worship, we have Liz Hoover and Liz. That'll be enough. That's right. If you haven't made your way to Sunday school yet, now is the time to head on downstairs. The teachers are there waiting for you. We do have a number of announcements. The first one, very important, our church annual church conference is coming up. This is a meeting where the entire church is invited. We talk about what's been going on here at the church. We go over the pastor's salaries, the nominations for leadership, who's going to be doing what in the coming year. We get some words. I believe Luann will be here, our superintendent will be here, to get some words of wisdom from her. We are the host church this year, so there will be three other congregations here with us. Seven or eight? Okay, seven or eight other congregations will be here that day, Saturday, November 8th. Please come. We will have a joint worship service, and then we will break into our groups for our churches. You want to know what's going on in the church and have your vote count, so please be here for that. It is time to sign up for the open table, which is coming up on November 6th. I believe it is a lasagna lunch, Italian theme for this week. So wear your little mustache or whatever it is that you do to be more Italian. And join us. The suggested donation is $5. It is a great time of fellowship and food. So please consider joining us for that. And on the 2nd, there it is, Fellowship with a Focus. Now, this is something new that we're doing here. We have not done this before. I'm trying to find my page so I get all the right things. This is being sponsored by our Church and Society group, and it will be they're calling it a potluck with a twist. So as good Methodists, we all get the potluck theme. We know what that means, and we'll be prepared for that. But as part of the afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m., we will have some activity stations and transportation bingo, a trivia game that I know they've been working on for a while. So if you've got some friends that are good at trivia, get them lined up to be here to help with that. There'll be some time for some mindfulness practice and some other activities. So not just potluck, but a number of things to connect with our church and society and what's going on in the world today. And then lastly, I love this. We have the Rediscovery Zone is open. If you have lost a coat or a cup or a drinking bottle or whatever, there they are. Please identify them and take them home. If they are not picked up, and so there's some nice winter coats there. If they're not picked up, I believe they'll be going to CAS, Community Services, for the folks down there. So please take a moment. If you come up those side doors, you haven't seen them, they're right outside in the community room. That is all the announcements. Oh, no, last day to submit pictures for the veterans today. I know that Veterans Day isn't until November, but we need to get the PowerPoint prepared and get all of that done ahead of time. So if you have not dropped off a picture of a family member who has been in the service or yourself, please make sure that gets emailed to the office today for that to be prepared. That is the announcements for this morning, and so please rise and join in our opening hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love those classics. Good morning, everyone. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your generous mercy. We try to follow your words and your ways, but we are humbled when we fall short of living like you. Lift us up when we fail. Give us strength to turn to you for our strength. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. It's so great to see everyone this morning. As we gather here today, we are in the midst of the sermon series about faith at every age, about how our faith and our faith experiences shift and change as we get older. And today we're going to be talking about our faith in our adulthood, which is good because I get to talk about it and I'm living that reality at this moment. And so it feels deeply personal to me. But as we move through this sermon series, we've recruited folks to share their testimonies, to share their stories about what God is doing in their lives, to sort of vivify or bring alive the reality of God moving in people's lives in our midst. And so this morning, we're going to be hearing from Vince and Cassie Progar. And before they share, I just wanted to give you an update on our stewardship campaign. We have received information from 151 families at our church at this point, which is great because that's exactly where we were last year at this time in the third week of the stewardship campaign. campaign, we had received from 151 families, so that's exactly on par. But this year, the total number of estimate of giving in terms of the dollar amount that we've received at this point is $543,000, and that is actually $54,000 ahead of where we were last year at this time. So that's really exciting. And I want to say just a brief word about what that may mean. That may mean we're in great shape. So if you're a clergy person and you're going through a stewardship campaign, I have to admit it is a bit of an emotional roller coaster. Last week we were behind, and I was with the budgeting committee a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I don't know. What are we going to do? What do we have to cut? And we may still cut some of the things that we, you know, thought about maybe not doing, or trimming areas, or cutting costs where we could. But what that also might mean is that we are able to do some ministries that we weren't sure if we were going to be able to fund. And so these resources, if they carry through the end of the stewardship campaign, will allow us to do some new ministries. One of the exciting ones is a new sort of after-school program that Pastor Lindsay has dreamed up for students to come in, and mostly for kids to be able to come in during the week and have another touch point that's like the precursor to youth group. She's really excited and thrilled about this opportunity. So when I told her where the stewardship numbers were at when we received them on Friday night, she was jumping for joy because a maybe or a no turns into a yes through your generosity. So I want to invite you to turn your attention to the screens. We're going to hear from Vincent and Cassie and Henry. I probably should say Henry. They have a six-week-old baby who's also in the screen. And they're going to tell you their faith story and what this church has meant to them. Let's turn our attention to the screen.
Good morning, church. My name is Vince Progar. This is my wife, Cassie, our six-week-old son, Henry, and down below here, you can't really see, is our four-year-old mini Golden Doodle Perry. And Cassie and myself have been coming to Brighton First United Methodist since Christmas Eve of 2024.
When we came on Christmas Eve, first off, we were looking for a really wonderful traditional Christmas service. But the other part, too, is that we were in the middle of a fertility journey that had started way back in early March of last year, finding out that I had some uterine fibroids that were preventing us from having some fertility successes. So I did have a surgery, a myomectomy last August, which was a lot of prayer about, and I definitely felt God was with us through that journey. And so by us going on Christmas Eve, that opened up a lot of prayer for just some hope post-surgery that we would be able to be successful with pregnancy, which we did.
And obviously, that's a story that involves both of us, but our story even branches off in a different direction. Cassie has been involved in church in various capacities for the majority of her life. I, on the other hand, was the complete opposite. I have had next to zero involvement with church or really Christianity in an organized setting whatsoever until I stepped foot in the church last Christmas Eve. And I think, because there's not really any concrete explanation for it, I think it's definitely evidence of God working, in the sense that I was drawn to continue to come back, drawn to really look inside myself and really understand what was going on and try to make connections into my own life. And that has in turn drawn me to want to continue to get more involved and become more a part of this church. For instance, Cassie and I have been involved in a few small projects. We anticipate growing in that capacity as we move forward. And starting in November, I will be joining the group of rotating liturgists, helping out with delivering the message and whatnot as we move forward in our services. So I think with both of our stories kind of conjoining to be one story here, it's pretty amazing what God has done in both of our lives, wouldn't you say?
Agreed.
We appreciate you taking time to listen to our story, and we appreciate you watching today.
And we will have a new liturgist soon. The scripture today is from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 27. As he went out into the street, a person came running up, greeting him with great reverence.
Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?
Why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and your mother.
Teacher, I have kept all of the commandments, every single one, since the days of my youth. So, for a very, very, very long time.
This is a loaded moment, Jesus says. There is one thing left. Go, sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. All of your wealth is heavenly wealth, and come, follow me.
Yeah, no.
Do you have any idea how difficult it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven?
The disciples couldn't believe what they were hearing, but Jesus kept on.
You can't imagine how difficult it is. I'd say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to get into God's kingdom.
Well, that certainly got their attention.
Teacher, how can anybody get into heaven?
Well, there's no chance at all if you think that you can do it all by yourself. For people, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to continue to grow in our faith and to challenge ourselves to take the next mountain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us probably can check off most of the boxes of what we're asked of Jesus, and you know, what does it take to be granted eternal life? What does it take to get into God's kingdom? What is the benchmark that we have to achieve? What's the hurdle that we have to clear? How far do we have to go? And we ask maybe ourselves these questions. They're good questions to ask. It's good to wrestle with what are the minimum standards for us to do to get into heaven. And Jesus, in this moment of, I think, incredible honesty, sort of looks at this guy and perhaps sort of reads him like a book. Imagine you're standing with Jesus, and he looks at this rich young ruler is the only description that we get about this particular biblical story, and he looks him in the eye, and he's like, well, good, you haven't committed adultery, you haven't stolen from folks, you haven't committed some of these social sins that are listed in this category of the Ten Commandments. And he says, well, how about this? Can you separate yourself from the worldly possessions that you've accumulated and enter into the kingdom of God by liquidating your assets and selling all the things and giving all the money to the poor? And I don't know about you, but just hearing those words, measure them against my own life, recognizing that we live in this privileged place in the United States of America where most of us have a reasonable number of assets that we declare that are own. And I have to admit, every time I come across this passage, I'm like, is that really the bar? Because if so, it's bad news for most of us. I think if we take an honest assessment of our own lives, most of us would be unwilling to liquidate everything that we have, take an oath of poverty, and give away all of our resources to the poor. Sometimes I wonder if that's what Jesus really was asking. Or perhaps it was a challenge because he knew that this sort of boisterous, bold, rich young ruler who had the audacity to come up to Jesus and ask, am I clearing the hurdle, Jesus? Am I meeting the minimum required standards to be able to get into heaven? And Jesus is like, all right, if you want the bonus question to be answered, if you want to get more than 100% on your quiz of whether or not you're being obedient to the law and the Torah, give this a try. Go sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor. Another way of asking the question is, what's holding me back? What's the last strand that I have? What's the one thing that I'm holding on to? And I have to admit, as I've aged into this new reality of my life, where oftentimes, like Vince and Cassie, they just had a kid, there's moments in my life where I'm just like, I'm still in your peer group. And then I realize I am not anymore. Joshua's almost 10 years old. In a couple short years, he'll be driving, which is terrifying to me. And a couple years after that, he'll be on to college. And I find myself recognizing that I have entered a new place in my life. It's very liberating to not care as much about what other people think. Are you with me? There's a freedom that comes with maturity of recognizing I am who I am. I'm comfortable and I'm secure in my own place. What's next? What are the things that I feel called to do? I no longer have to appease somebody else or try to make them pleased or whatever. I'm in a place now where I wrestle with what are the big and most important things that I am supposed to do today. It really sets me free. For this rich young man, he was asking a spiritual question, and I think he deserves some credit for that. This rich ruler takes a moment to walk up to Jesus, listening to what he had to say, and he's got, I've got one more question for you, teacher. Tell me, what is it that I have to do to get into a heaven? What is it that I have to do to have eternal life? Just go sell all your possessions. Earlier this year, we got to a point where our 2013 Subaru Outback didn't have much left to give. I was driving home from a hospital appointment, and suddenly the dashboard lit up like the 4th of July, and there were multiple indicator lights that let me know that the head gasket had seen its last pumping of the piston, and it was time to move on from that particular vehicle. Now, when we lived in Birmingham in the early stages of our life, everybody was always car comparing. If you've ever been in this conversation, you know exactly where this is going. And people sort of bust their shoulders out, and I'm anxious to tell it this way in front of a room filled with GM, Ford, and Chrysler engineers. But needless to say, I've been in this conversation numerous times where people are like, oh, what car are you driving? And oh, is this new? Is this used? Is it, you know, got a bunch of miles on it? And Lindsay and I had gotten to a point where we were pretty comfortable driving this old 2013 beat-up Subaru Outback. And it had character, right? There was damage on the front of the vehicle. The head gasket was nearing the end of its life. And I would even drive some church members in it that were like, John, when are you going to get a new car, you know? Like, there's deals. I can take you to the dealership and get you one of the employee discounts or whatever. And I recognize that there's a freedom that's come to me in the last couple years to joyously drive an old vehicle, because I am no longer really, really concerned about what people think about my car. I'll tell you why. As I've grown older and older, and I find myself increasingly secure with the person that I am, I'm finding myself less and less connected to the things that I have, and I got more and more excited about being able to tell stories about the experiences that I'm having. And so as this car descended into the final stages of its life, and I walked up to the service counter, and I was like, oh, so how much does it cost to replace a head gasket? And they told me, oh, it'll be $7,000 or $8,000. I found myself thinking, man, that's like three wells in Liberia. Man, that's an entire family vacation. Bye! And for a couple of months, Pastor Lindsay and I rode our bikes to church, which was a lot of fun. In addition to that, we also got down to one car, which meant that when we were dropping the kids off at the school, we did it together instead of driving two separate cars in two separate directions. There were times that there were members of this church, frankly, that drove us home after meetings and made sure that we weren't walking or riding our bike in the dark. There were things that happened at this particular stage in our life, and I'm not here to say, like, this isn't about, like, whether or not, I mean, Deacon Loretta just shared that a church conference will be voting on the clergy compensation. I want you to know we are compensated well and fine and all of that. It's not a pitch or a plea in that circumstance. Instead, it's about making intentional decisions with the resources that we have. I want to encourage you into that kind of thoughtful reflection about the things that you own and whether or not those things own you or if you own the things that you have. I've told you that I have an addiction to getting a new iPhone every couple of years because of the advertising. It promises that it'll transform my life and jobs will be easier and you'll be more efficient and so much more responsive to all the things, and AI will continue to guide us into the future. All of these empty promises. And so I imagine if I was a young pastor that ran up to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He would probably say, "Well, Pastor, leave your phone at home sometimes." No! Run away. What is it for you? Is there something in your life that you would struggle to put away, to leave behind, to reject for one reason or another? Is it an asset? Is it some form of addiction that you just find yourself doom-scrolling through the Facebook feed and you see all of this stuff, story after story? If Jesus told you you had to give up Facebook, or if you had to give up turning in your new iPhone for a new one, or if you had to give up your nice, shiny, brand new car, or if you had to give up something, is there anything that would cause you a stumbling block that you would choose that over the eternal promises of God in heaven? For some of us, we want to be able to say, "Oh no, I don't have anything like that." But I struggle when I'm disconnected to the internet. It almost feels like there's no blood flowing through my veins. I'm like, where's the nearest Wi-Fi place? When I'm in Liberia, there are times that I feel like I've, gone to a place where I'm disconnected, and it almost feels like a physical response. I wonder what emails are coming in. What am I missing? I don't know what it is for each and every one of you, but this is next level stuff. Most of us in the room probably have not done some of the things that Jesus listed in his list of social sins. We can check a couple of the boxes of the Ten Commandments, and on the whole, we look at ourselves and we're like, "I'm good. I've done the bare minimum required standards." And so we probably find ourselves associating with this rich young ruler running up to him. "What's the last thing? I mean, you know me, teacher. What's the last thing that I can do to get into heaven?" And maybe Jesus would read us all like a book and be able to look us all in the eye and say, "Well, you have to give up your new car. You have to give up your iPhone. It's time to sell the business so that you can devote more time to the things that matter most," or whatever it might be in your life. Art, for us, it would be the Tigers, right? I don't know if we could do it. We will form a support group for each other on that. As we close this stewardship campaign, what I'm hoping for you is this, that you take a moment in the midst of this month of October, to reflect on the most significant spiritual moments in your life. Maybe as you reflect back on your time as a child, you remember a significant Sunday school teacher. Maybe you remember your baptism, as Pastor Lindsay talked about in the first week. As you think about your teenage years, you think about maybe the questions that you asked and the people that were available to answer them. As you think about your adult years, you maybe think about your independence, your self-actualization, the moment that you looked at yourself in the mirror and you're like, "Are you okay? Yeah, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I don't worry as much about whether or not people think I'm weird for wearing glasses now that I've entered this new phase of my life, and I don't have to carry that around anymore." And that self-actualization and that self-confidence makes you powerful and bold and able to say things that you stand firm, and it's harder and harder to move you into a new place. You have convictions that you stand firm on. You've worked on yourself. You've become more and more the person that God wants you to be. But is there one other thing? Is there a goal that you have for yourself? Well, Pastor Lindsay wanted me to mention, well, two things. One, she's feeling a lot better from her surgery, and a lot of people have been asking about that, which we really appreciate. She's been around the church, and she's down at Whitmore Lake. She's starting to teach confirmation today, so she's not here and hasn't been here for a couple of weeks, so folks have been asking how she's doing. The second is this. The church worked really hard in the early part of this year to create a discipleship pathway, an opportunity for people to evaluate themselves across this metric of, am I beginning? Am I improving? Am I sort of in this place where I can teach others in a variety of different practices? And it talks about this sort of movement from just starting out with something into a place where not only do I feel comfortable and secure in my own spot, but I'm willing to teach others. And the discipleship pathways are on the table in the back. It's a beautiful multicolored pamphlet that you can open up, but it asks in 8 different categories of spiritual growth, where am I at on this journey? It's absolutely okay to just be beginning in any of those categories, but we're encouraging people to move through the discipleship pathway by taking classes. And I'm pleased to be able to share, if you were here last week, Reverend Hazel Bates is going to be teaching another version of the disciple class. And if you're interested in signing up in that, there's a variety of classes that will be starting in January, and you can start looking for those opportunities. It's one of the ways that people really mature and develop in their faith by taking these classes, and perhaps you're in a place where you might be able to do that. There's other categories as well. Serving others. Am I taking a portion of my time and investing it in making the world a better place by serving others? Am I giving of the resources that God has entrusted me to? Am I worshiping in all the ways that I possibly can? There are a variety of questions in there that push us into a deeper discipleship with Jesus. This month, as we looked at faith at every age, I hope it's presented you with an opportunity to wrestle with the question, where am I at with my faith, and where does Jesus call me to go next? It's not something where we're evaluating one person against another. It was one of my favorite things about cross country when I ran that in high school. My coach would always say, you don't have to worry about any of the other runners on this race. You just have to run a little better today than you did yesterday. That is the spiritual journey. We're going on to perfection one day at a time, one foot in front of the other. It doesn't matter who you used to be or what you ultimately might end up being in the first in the finishing stages of the journey of faith, but this is your race. This is your opportunity to grow. Take it. Run a little bit better today than you did yesterday. Next week, I want to let you know that we're continuing this sermon series, Faith of Every Age at Every Age, but we're concluding it with what it means to be a senior with faith and what it means to be a part of sort of legacy, passing down the faith from one generation to the next, and how does the faith continue, and how do the golden years of our lives continue as somebody, I'm searching for the right word, Lynn, I still need it, you know, we don't call folks seniors, we call you experienced and wise, right? We'll also be celebrating All Saints Sunday next week, where we'll celebrate the wonderful lives of people who have gone on before us, and we'll have a bell that has been dedicated actually in the back of the church. You can see it on the way out, a gift that was given to us by a member of the church that will help us remember those saints. The next week we'll be celebrating all those people who have finished their course in faith. And we recognize that this Faith at Every Age series has a beautiful beginning, the grace that we receive in our baptism, that God is with us from the moment that we draw our first breath. And we also recognize that God is with us even in those moments where we're in a hospital bed surrounded by the people that love us and care about us, with us all the way through the end. God has been present and with us. The good news is for everybody sitting in this room is you still got time left on the clock. And so I guess we all find ourselves at the feet of Jesus asking the question, what else do we have to do? What are you going to do with the time you have left on the clock? Is there anything left on your list, your bucket list, that you're hoping to accomplish? This last year I turned 38, this year I turned 39, and I recognized when I turned 39 that I was basically halfway through my life, if you take average life expectancy. It was really an interesting moment sitting there celebrating my birthday last year, and I recognized, like, huh, did I ever do everything that I wanted to do in the first half of life, or are there things that I want to make sure that I accomplish in the second half? I pray that you maximize the time on your clock, whatever that time might be. Would you sell the things that Jesus is asking you to sell? Would you pursue him, even if it meant giving up something that you care about deeply? What's holding you back? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning again. The congregational prayer. If you assume the position you'd like to do while you're praying in public, we're ready. Fragile. I've been hearing that word a great deal lately, God. Life is fragile. The environment is fragile. Peace deals are fragile. Love is fragile. Our health is certainly fragile. When we're young, we take it for granted that we will just go on and on. We're invincible. A bump here, a bruise there, but we can tough it out. Faith can be fragile as well. Our faith evolves as we move through the ages and stages of our lives. But that evolution isn't always linear. Sometimes the bumps and bruises are very damaging, and we begin to question our faith. In your great wisdom, Lord, you know how fragile we really are. You don't turn away from us when we struggle with our faith. You aren't afraid of our doubt and questions, because when we doubt and question, it means we are thinking of you. You have a plan for each of us, and even when we begin to face our own mortality, you fill us with a peace that passes understanding. You have promised to provide, to never leave us, and to save those who call upon you. You have promised to make all things right in the end. We thank you, O Holy One, for this fragile and beautiful earth. Help us to see your love reflected in the eyes of those around us. We thank you especially for the quilting group. Though we don't have prayer quilts this morning, they will be working dedicated Monday morning to making sure quilts are available for future recipients so that they will be able to feel the warmth and love and many prayers embedded in the fabric and the securing ties. In our time of personal prayer, we offer the concerns and joys in our hearts. Now hear us, Lord, as we repeat the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we continue in this time of worship, we're going to invite the ushers to assist us in our morning offering. And as they do that, I want to share with you, if this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself is a huge gift to us, and we would just love it if you would take a moment and fill out that connection card that was in your bulletin as you walked in. If you like, you can take a moment and check some of the boxes of the ministry on the back of the card that may be of interest to you, and somebody from the church will be in contact with you. Putting that in the offering plate would just be a tremendous gift to us. If this is your church home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to be a blessing to others and that we can continue to do the work that God's called us to do. I wanted to let you know we have two cars now. Pastor Lindsay and I, we're driving the old car that we have, and the other vehicle that we have is a 2015 Jeep Patriot. It's not new, it's not glamorous, but it was a vehicle that was owned by Lindsay's grandparents, who her grandmother passed away. She was 99.9, 1 month away old from her 100th birthday. And it's not brand new vehicle, but it's new to us. And I think what's amazing about getting in that car to drive is every time you turn it on, you think about Lyle and Lucine, Lindsay's amazing grandparents. She comes from good stock. I definitely married up. But she, when you turn it on, it reminds you of these two wonderful, faithful people. And I guess that's what these gifts are to me, is an opportunity for our blessings to become a blessing for somebody else, to pay it forward, to make a difference. All of our assets have meaning. They're meaningful to us. They tell a story about what we value and what we believe in. So I guess that's the connection between our faithful giving and this story today. Do we ascribe our worth to the things that we have, or do we ascribe our worth
to things that have eternal significance. Lyle and Lucine do to us. Thanks be to God for their incredible gifts. One of the ways that our church makes a huge difference in the lives of others is every October we've sent mission teams down to Redbird, Kentucky. And this morning I'm going to invite forward Ginger Van Blaricum, who's going to be sharing with us a mission moment about the difference that that our church has made with our brothers and sisters down in Kentucky. Please welcome Ginger as she comes forward.
Good morning, church. As you know, our team went down to Redbird Mission, and we were very successful in a lot of the things that we did down there, even though the weather was inclement at some time. Redbird Mission itself was formed in 1921 by the Evangelical Church. They wanted to go down into the region and bring Christianity and education to a very impoverished area. From that tiny one-room schoolhouse, they now have a K-12 school with just shy of 200 students. Most of the students are from the area, but there are some international students as well. While we were there, we found out that some of the international students are not able to come because their government is holding them back. Please pray for that situation. Redbird needs those students. When you think about going down and working at Redbird, a lot of times you think about us going out into the community and working. And we do that, and we love that. But there are so many other jobs that have to be done on the campus. Some of our teams worked at building Christmas boxes that will be distributed in December. One young lady from another church went out into the senior centers, and she cut hair. Larry and I, on one of the rain days, actually worked in a mother-baby room. We packed bags with all the things that you had donated, the diapers, the wipes, and the lotions to be given to the mothers in November. And I want to tell you, Larry said in one day he's learned more about diapers than he's ever wanted to know. On the campus right now, they not only have the school and the dorms, but they have a medical facility. They have a dental facility. They have a thrift store. They have a safe water station. There are so many things that Redbird is putting out there for the community. It's just unbelievable. When you think about us going down to Redbird, a lot of times you think about the money that we make at the scrap drive paying our way down, and that's not the case. We pay our way down because we want 100% of the money to stay right there in Redbird. This year, the scrap drive made just shy of $5,000. We were so proud to give them a check for $3,000. Now you think, are we being stingy? Did we hold that money back on purpose? Yes, because there are unknown things that come up. Several years ago, we called down midsummer and asked them, what are your needs? When we come down in the fall, what are the things that you really need? There are 4 students that were not able to go to school because their parents could not afford the tuition. We paid for that. Another year, we found out that the school desperately needed a large printer, a commercial size printer. We purchased it. 3 years ago, as we were sitting there watching the children play basketball, we realized that on their basketball court, they were playing with a laundry basket nailed to a pole. So that year, we went out and we bought the traditional backboards. And when we went down in the fall, we installed those. If you can imagine children of all ages standing on the sideline of that court, watching as we were putting that backboard up, breathlessly waiting for that last screw to be put in and those ladders to be taken away so they could run out there and be the very first one to make a basket in that official basketball. It just warmed my heart. We take so much for granted. And the vans that you purchased and sent down there, they are in use nonstop. You are an awesome congregation, and I am so proud to say that I'm part of it. But know this, in the future, we need you. We need more volunteers to go down and be part of our Redbird team. Redbird only survives with the help of all the volunteers across the United States. They can't do it by themselves. So there you have it. I've planted the seed. Think about it. Pray about it. Come join our team. Thank you for supporting Redbird Mission and the Scrap Drive.
Lord of all, we thank and praise you for what you have done for us. Help us to be generous in our sharing of both the tangible things we have and the permanent gifts of love and mercy that you give. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as you depart from this service, I want to conclude with this final thought. Jesus was probably talking with this young man sometime between 30 and 35 AD. We don't know exactly the year. And if you know this part of the history, you'll know that
it was only 40-ish years later, after Jesus was talking to this man, that after the Zealots, a group of Jewish folks who rebelled against the Roman occupation and authority of their day, there was a response where the Romans came in and absolutely destroyed the temple and took over all of what would become Israel in our current day. But the Romans came in and they destroyed everything. All of that rich ruler's possessions and resources, all the wealth that he had accumulated over the course of his life may have been completely destroyed just 40 years after that conversation with Jesus. I guess the point to me was this. All the stuff that we have is temporary. It's only stuff. It's fleeting. It's here for a moment. It's got built-in obsolescence. Someday it will all be gone. But Jesus asks us the question, would you give it all away for the eternal significance of heaven? I'm guessing all of us would make that trade if asked today. If we could see the glory of God, set your face on those things because they will never go away. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.